Picture yourself leaving a grocery store with your hands full. You have just passed a dozen signs, seen three window displays, checked your phone twice, and probably ignored several offers. 10 minutes later, one small shape is still in your mind. Maybe it was a bright corner on a package. Maybe it was a friendly face on a poster. Maybe it was a phrase you cannot quite shake. Most of the messages disappeared. One left a trace. That trace is the subject of today's conversation. Not just how to win the glance, but how to design what remains after the glance is gone.
I love that. Because a design can be beautiful, clever, and impossible to ignore for 3 seconds, and then completely unavailable to the person who saw it.
Exactly. And if someone remembers only that a design was loud, polished, or vaguely interesting, it may have won attention without creating connection.
Or it may have created the wrong connection. A person remembers the giant orange shape, but not the company, the service, or the reason to call.
Yes, that is the uncomfortable part. Being memorable is not enough if the memory points somewhere useless.
Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors to The Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling with your co-host, Wendy.
And I'm Wendy. I spend a lot of time helping designers turn a good visual idea into something people can actually understand, use, and remember. So this topic is right in my wheelhouse.
We also have Anthony with us, bringing the perspective of someone who has to make these ideas survive outside the perfect presentation screen.
That is a polite way of saying I am here to ask whether the logo still works when it is printed small, viewed from the road, or stuck on the side of a vehicle in bad weather.
Which is exactly why we need you here.
In each episode, we'll dive deep into the art of crafting logos that don't just mark a brand, they ignite one. We'll unpack illustrations that leap off the page, transforming marketing magic into magnets that draw the right people straight to your door. Whether it's strategizing color palettes that convert or sketching narratives that narrate your story, we're here to equip you with the tools to imagine bigger, design bolder, and connect deeper.
Today, we are keeping three questions in front of us. What is the difference between being noticed and being remembered? How can you run a useful memory check without expensive research? And how does that idea change when the same brand appears in a logo, a social post, and a printed sign?
From behind-the-scenes breakdowns with industry trailblazers to hands-on hacks you can steal for your next project, this is your creative command center. So, grab your favorite pen, fire up your tablet, and let's get those ideas flowing. Stick around. Your imagination's about to get an upgrade.
Let's start with a distinction that sounds small, but changes the way you evaluate almost everything. Attention is the moment someone notices. Recognition is the moment they identify something familiar. Understanding is the moment they grasp what it means. Recall is what remains available when the original design is no longer in front of them.
Wait, back up. So recognition is not the same as recall?
Right. Recognition is often easier. You see a familiar logo and think, I have seen that before. Recall asks you to retrieve something when the logo is no longer helping you.
So a person might recognize a storefront, but still have no idea what the business does.
Exactly. And that is not automatically a failure. A logo does not need to explain an entire business in one
glance. It has to earn its place in a larger memory system.
Yes. The shape, the name, the language, the color, the customer experience. Those pieces should reinforce one useful idea over time.
And the environment changes the job. A sign may be viewed from a moving car, through a rainy window, or while someone is already thinking about where to park. You do not get a long presentation. You get a few seconds, and the memory has to survive those seconds.
That is such a useful reality check. Designers review a layout at full size, in perfect lighting, with the brief sitting beside them. The audience is distracted, rushed,
and usually seeing the work next to competing messages.
And sometimes the advice becomes too simple. People say, make it minimal, remove everything. I'm not sure I buy that as a universal rule.
Good. I was waiting for someone to push on that.
Some of the most memorable signs I have worked on were bold, strong contrast, a distinctive silhouette, sometimes a dimensional element that made people look twice. If we strip all of that away in the name of simplicity, we can end up with something clean but forgettable.
I agree with the challenge. Simplicity by itself does not create memory. Distinctiveness helps. But the question is whether the distinctive feature carries the right idea or merely creates a loud interruption.
So you are not against the orange sign?
Not at all. I am against the orange sign being the only thing the audience can retrieve.
There is the synthesis. The rule is not less design. It is fewer competing memories.
Exactly. Imagine a neighborhood repair company asking for a new identity. The owner says, "We are fast, honest, local, family-run, affordable, highly trained, environmentally responsible, and available for emergencies." Every statement may be true, but if we put all of them into the mark, the audience receives no priority.
So the first creative decision is not which font looks friendly. It is deciding what the audience should be able to say afterward.
Finish this sentence. When the right person thinks of this brand, I want them to remember that it is the place for... Maybe the answer is fast help when something breaks. Maybe it is careful service from people nearby. That sentence becomes the seed. Everything else can support it. Or wait for another touch point.
I use a similar prompt in workshops. I remove the logo from the presentation and leave only three words. If those words do not describe the feeling and promise the design was meant to create, we have more thinking to do.
And notice what we are not saying. A design does not have to be plain. Its richness needs a center. A story can have many details, but the listener needs a thread. An identity can have many assets, but the audience needs a memory path.
Now we can turn that idea into a repeatable check. The afterimage test is a quick directional exercise. It is not formal market research, and it will not predict every person's behavior. It reveals whether your intended message survives a short delay.
The first step is the one people skip. Before showing anyone the design, write down the intended takeaway.
One sentence.
One sentence. Not a paragraph, not a list of 12 values. Name the audience, the useful idea, or the promise you want to plant.
And match the test to the real situation. A 5-second exposure may make sense for a social post or a roadside sign, but a product page may have a longer reading window.
Yes, do not create an artificial test that has nothing to do with use.
Here is a simple version. Show the design in a realistic context for about 5 seconds, if 5 seconds reflects the real encounter, then remove it. Ask the participants to complete a small unrelated task for roughly 30 seconds. They could name 3 cities, sort a few objects, or look at another image. The point is to create enough distance for the design to stop feeling immediately present.
For a sign, I would photograph it from the actual viewing distance. If the phone number disappears in the photograph, that is not a minor issue. It is the test telling you the call to action is not surviving the conditions.
Then ask neutral questions. What do you remember seeing? What do you think the brand offers? What, if anything, stood out? What would you expect to do next? Do not ask whether they liked it.
That last part matters. Did you like it? Invites politeness, taste, and the desire to make the designer feel good.
Exactly. Ask what survived, and then stay quiet. Do not rescue the design. Do not say, you missed the important part, which was the little blue line. If they missed it, that is information.
That is hard.
Very hard. Especially when the little blue line took 4 hours.
And especially when the little blue line is supposed to represent the entire brand strategy.
Then the blue line has a lot of pressure on it.
Write down the exact words people use. Did they remember a shape, a character,
a color, or a phrase? More importantly, did they remember what the brand offered and why it might matter to them? Their answer may be rough. That roughness is useful because memory is rarely a polished case study.
I would add one production question. Could they identify the brand again if the name were removed? That shows whether the symbol has started doing real work on packaging, vehicles, or printed materials.
Would you ask that in the first round or after the basic questions?
After. First, I want the unprompted memory. Then I can remove the name and see whether the visual signature has any independence.
That is a useful sequence. Start open, then become more specific. Finally, compare the intended takeaway with the remembered takeaway. If they match, you have directional evidence that the design is carrying the message. If they do not panic. You have found the distance between your intention and the audience's experience.
And that distance is where the next design decision lives.
Let's try a miniature demonstration. Imagine I show you a social graphic for a fictional meal preparation company called Bright Table. You see a warm kitchen, a delivery box, a smiling parent, 4 nutrition badges, a weekly calendar, and a headline with 3 promises. 5 seconds. Then it disappears.
I remember the smiling parent.
What does Bright Table offer?
Something healthy for families. Maybe meal delivery?
That is a familiar category, but it is not a very specific memory. You remember the scene, not necessarily the reason this company belongs in your life.
Now let us change only the emphasis. The graphic shows a calm kitchen moment, a distinctive table-shaped corner in the logo, and one line. Dinner. Already thought through. Same company. Fewer competing claims. 5 seconds. Then we create the delay.
I remember the phrase. It feels like relief rather than a list of features.
And I remember the corner shape. If that shape appears on the box and the delivery van, it can become the visual handle while the phrase explains the promise.
That is the difference between asking one composition to say everything and giving each touch point a job. The logo can be the visual signature. The headline can be the verbal handle. The illustration can create the emotional scene. The sign can provide the fast explanation.
Hold on. Are we saying every piece has to repeat the exact same sentence?
No. Consistency does not mean duplication. It means the pieces support the same memory.
A box can show the symbol large. A vehicle can say meal preparation plainly. A social post can tell the relief story. If every application uses the same tiny headline, the system may be consistent and still fail in the real world.
Right. Same memory, different assistance.
Now, imagine the first version is tested with 4 people who resemble the intended audience. 2 remember the smiling parent. 1 remembers the nutrition badges. 1 says, I think it was a furniture company with a nice kitchen. That is not a brand failure. It is a diagnosis.
The furniture answer makes sense if the table symbol is memorable, but the service category is invisible.
So we should not throw out the symbol just because the interpretation is wrong.
Correct. First, ask whether the memorable element is worth keeping. Then add or strengthen the missing category cue. Put prepared meals or weeknight meal delivery where the viewer can actually retrieve it. Pair the symbol with the promise more consistently. The test tells you what is memorable. It does not decide the entire design for you.
And inspect the application before blaming the concept. Maybe the phrase was printed too small. Maybe the material changed the color. Maybe the van was photographed from too far away. Sometimes the artwork is strong and the context is weak.
That is why the afterimage test belongs in the process early, not only at the end when everyone is emotionally attached to the design.
This is also where designers can explain their decisions in business language. Instead of saying, I made the corner shape more distinctive because it felt better, we can say, we strengthened the shape so the brand can be recognized when the name is not fully visible.
That explanation is much easier for a client to evaluate.
And it connects design to outcomes without promising a miracle. A memorable cue does not guarantee a conversion. It can make recognition easier, make a later conversation easier, and give an inquiry a clearer reason to happen.
Let us follow Bright Table through a simple customer journey. Someone sees the social post on Tuesday. They do not order. On Wednesday, they notice the same corner shape on a delivery van. On Thursday, a coworker mentions wanting easier dinners. The person says, "Oh, I have seen Bright Table. They are the ones that make weeknight dinner manageable." That is an illustrative scenario, not a measured result, but it shows how a useful memory can remain available for a later decision.
The person is not reciting the brand guide. They are carrying a small, useful idea.
Exactly. That is what we mean by an afterimage, not a complete presentation trapped in someone's head, a compact cue that can reconnect the brand to a relevant need.
Can we give listeners a test they can run today, not just a concept to admire?
Absolutely. Bring a current project to mind. It can be a logo, landing page, flyer, product label, presentation cover, or sign. Before you show it, write one sentence. "I want the right person to remember that this is the place for."
Not, "I want them to think it looks professional."
Right. Professional is a quality. Keep going. What useful outcome does the design connect to?
Then show it in context. Do not hold a perfect mock-up in a perfect presentation if people will meet it on paper, at distance, in a feed, or on a vehicle.
Give the person the appropriate viewing time. Remove the design. Add a short, unrelated task. Then ask, "What do you remember?" Write down the words exactly. Ask what they think the brand offers. Ask what they would expect to do next.
And do not explain while they answer.
Exactly. You are listening, not defending. 3 to 5 people who resemble your audience can reveal directional patterns. That is useful evidence, but it is not a statistically representative study. If possible, test again with more people and across more realistic situations.
And do not choose only people already involved in the project. If the whole group knows the strategy, you may be measuring shared enthusiasm instead of audience recall.
That sounds obvious, but it happens constantly. The team says the design is clear, then the audience remembers the decorative texture and none of the offer.
Which brings us to the editing question. What is competing with the afterimage? Sometimes it is an extra message. Sometimes it is a symbol that suggests a different category. Sometimes it is a clever visual that earns applause but pulls memory away from the business goal.
That may be the hardest part for creators, allowing a good idea to become secondary.
Absolutely. Editing is not a rejection of creativity. It is how creativity becomes usable. Keep the mascot's hat if it supports the personality. Reduce the background pattern if it competes. Move the joke to a secondary moment if it steals the entire memory.
And remember that secondary does not mean invisible. It means the audience can discover more after the central idea has landed.
That is an important distinction. A memorable design is not necessarily the one with the fewest ingredients. It is the one whose ingredients cooperate long enough for the audience to carry the intended idea away.
Let us make the recap sound like something people can actually remember.
First, define the takeaway. Before adding color, texture, motion, or clever detail, decide what useful idea the right person should retrieve.
Second, test delayed recall. Let the work disappear, then ask what remains, without helping the person find the answer.
Third, test the real conditions. Paper, distance, motion, screen size, lighting, and context all change what survives.
And then remove, reposition, or clarify whatever competes with the intended memory. Distinctive is valuable, but distinctive in service of the right idea is far more valuable.
Your action step is simple. Choose one current design. Write the sentence you want people to remember. Test it with a few people who resemble your audience. Ask what they remember, what they think the brand offers, and what they would do next.
Then make one purposeful change. Strengthen the symbol, clarify the phrase, remove a competing element, or improve the context where the design appears. Run the test again. One change gives you a chance to learn what actually moved the afterimage.
Before we close,
take a quiet moment with your work in mind. Imagine the person you want to reach encountering it during an ordinary day. They may be busy. They may be distracted. They may not be looking for a brand at all. Let the visual meet them naturally.
Picture the actual setting, not the presentation. The phone in one hand, the sign across the street, the paper on a crowded desk.
Now let the design leave their view. The screen closes. The sign is behind them. The paper goes back into a folder. What remains? Is there a shape they can recognize? A phrase they can repeat? A feeling connected to a useful promise?
If the answer is only a color or a decoration, do not take it personally. That is a production note from the audience.
And if nothing remains yet, that is not a verdict. It is an invitation to sketch again with more intention.
Memory is not magic. It is something we can design for, observe, and improve. The goal is not to fill someone's mind with every detail. The goal is to leave the right door open so the brand can be found again.
Make the next version easier to recognize, easier to understand, and easier to carry into the next conversation. That is where Visual Works starts helping the business beyond the first impression.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Take one design this week and give it an afterimage worth carrying.
Thanks for joining us at the Tools of the Imagination from MG Wallace Design Studios. If this sparked something in you, hit that subscribe button, drop a review, and share it with a fellow creator who needs a creative boost. For templates and downloads, register at mgwdstudios.com/submit.
And if you're ready to explore a brand system designed around the way your audience should remember you, learn more at mgwdstudios.com.
In our next episode, we will look at the quiet decisions that make a visual idea feel inevitable instead of accidental. Until next time, keep designing, keep dreaming, and keep imagining what's next. I'm Michael. See you in the sketchbook.
Imagine boldly, design brilliantly, connect creatively.